Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 432. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about palaces and salt mines and the Sound of Music as we go to Salzburg, Austria. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode of the Amateur Traveler is again sponsored by Blogger Bridge. Check out blog.bloggerbridge.com for videos on how to work with bloggers and other content creators. And if you're looking for how to connect with content creators to promote your business or destination, check out bloggerbridge.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Gina Chupka, who's come to talk to us about Salzburg. Gina, welcome to the show.
Really happy to be here, Chris.
You want to put Salzburg on a map for us, where it is in Austria?
Salzburg is kind of where Austria dips down. There's kind of a fat half of Austria and a skinny half. And it's kind of on the northern side where the fat half meets the skinny half.
Okay. And why should someone go to Salzburg?
I would suggest that they go there because it's a compact, walkable city. And everywhere you go, there is incredible architecture. It's got a beautiful mountain setting. And it's just a really picturesque, easy place to experience the old world feel of Europe.
And it feels like it should almost be in a movie.
It does. I think maybe people might have heard of a little film called The Sound of Music.
Which I'm guessing might come up once or twice when you're in Salzburg.
On occasion, it does. It does.
So what kind of itinerary would you recommend for someone who is traveling to Salzburg?
I would recommend a few days in the city just to wander around. That's really the best thing to do in Salzburg. There are some sites like museums and the Festung on top of the mountain that overlooks the city. But just give yourself some time to wander, sit in cafes, and just take the whole scene in.
Okay. And after that?
After that, you could take a side trip down to the Salzkammergut, which is kind of a chain of villages in the Lakes District, also in Austria. Or you could actually head over the border into Germany and visit a place called Berchtesgaden, which is a pretty little Bavarian town. Or you could also go to a really gorgeous lake called Königssee, which is also in Germany.
Okay. So getting back to the city of Salzburg, and then we'll get back to some of your side trips there in a minute. You mentioned wandering around. So Salzburg has a medieval old town, as I recall.
It does, yes.
Are there a particular area that you're recommending we wander around, or a particular cafe that you found is a great place to sit and watch the world go by?
In the Altstadt, there is a street called Getreidegasse. And it's lined with shops, and actually Mozart's birthplace is also on Getreidegasse. It's a really popular thoroughfare, narrow, very atmospheric. It's basically a must if you're going to Salzburg. You need to walk down that street. But if you cross over the river, there is another pedestrian street called Linzergasse, and there are some great cafes along there as well, and more shopping, and just beautiful old buildings.
And what brought you to Salzburg?
I actually studied there in college for a semester, and I accidentally ended up back there when I had a trip fall apart last year, and we were stuck in Germany and decided Well, we've got this opportunity. Why not go back to Salzburg and pay a visit?
Excellent. What university were you at there?
I was actually studying at Salzburg College.
Okay. When you were studying in Salzburg, are there favorite hangouts for students in Salzburg?
There's an Irish bar popular with students the world over. I am forgetting the name because it was a while ago and I didn't really go that often. But it's along the banks of the river in the old town. Otherwise, it's popular just to hang out in cafes, no matter whether you're a student or an Austrian grandpa.
And you mentioned the river, so Salzburg is built along a river?
It is. It's built on either side of the Salzach River.
Okay. And we keep mentioning the word salts or salt.
Yes.
In your conversations, so many things named with salt. Where does the salt come from in Salzburg?
The salt was actually the source of Salzburg's wealth. It looks the way it does because there were some people making some very good money on salt.
And you say making good money on salt. They were worth their salt. They were mining salt.
They were, yes. There are some salt mines also in the area that you can go and visit, and you can slide down the old mine shafts.
So Salzburg gets a lot of tourism. So I'd like to talk about sort of Salzburg in a touristy fashion, and then you lived there for a while, so I'd also like to talk about the Salzburg behind the glitz or whatever.
Yes.
What kind of things do most tourists do in Salzburg?
I have to say Sound of Music tours are very popular. And you start seeing the buses coming in as the tourism season unfolds. And there are a lot of people walking around following a flag. But a lot of people do also just tour through the old town and go up to the Festung, the fortress that overlooks the city.
Okay. And you were recommending the Festung?
The Festung is honestly great. It's really fascinating. It's a medieval fortress. And you can kind of get a picture of life inside those walls from way back when. It's definitely worth the experience.
Okay. And then you mentioned there's also a few museums in Salzburg.
There are. There's a natural history museum called the Haus der Natur, which is very quirky. You can see some bottled medical specimens along with your standard natural history fair. And there's a really nice modern art museum up on the Munchsberg, which is newer. Definitely worth going up there for both the view and looking at the art that's in the museum.
And I'm going to guess that the Munchsberg is an old monastery.
It is actually a mountain named after monks.
Okay. I'm taking a shot here.
Yeah. It's a good shot.
And it's yet another one of the mountains that's overlooking the town.
The old town is kind of hemmed in by the Munchsberg. And on the opposite side of the river, there is the Kapuzinerberg, okay, or the Capuchin Mountain.
Which is named after monks.
Named after monks.
Strangely enough.
When I was living there, I kept count of nuns and monks that I would see.
Mm-hmm.
And it would occasionally get up to like 10 a day.
Oh, okay.
So they're around.
What else would you recommend we do see or eat when we're in Salzburg?
I would definitely recommend that you check out the Mirabelle Gardens, which will, again, be noteworthy for Sound of Music fans, but it's also a lovely formal garden that spreads out kind of beneath the Mirabelle Palace. Definitely worth it to go over there, sit in the sun, and just look at the beautiful surroundings. Another place that I would definitely recommend is the Augustiner Bräustubel, which is a monastery / brewery.
Okay. I can hear some of the listeners' ears perking up as you say that.
It's a great beer hall that you can, you just go in, you get your mug, walk over, pay, and they'll fill it up, and you just go through that cycle as long as you choose. There's also, in the summer, there are tables outside, and it's very atmospheric and pretty.
Okay. And then I gathered from the fact that there is a garden at the palace that there's also a palace.
There is a palace. It's not quite as exciting an experience. I may be a little biased. I'm not a huge palace person.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, sitting in the gardens is the key experience. If you are really into Baroque decoration, give Mirabelle Palace a shot too.
Well, and we usually ask what do the guidebooks recommend that you think are a waste of time?
This may be really kind of off color, but I would say skip the Mozart house. If you're not into classical music, and a lot of people aren't these days, it's probably not really worth your time. It's worth it if you're really into Mozart. Otherwise, spend time doing something that really interests you.
In the sense that it's not well presented, you have to just be a fan of being in a place that Mozart's once stood rather than anything else.
You have to kind of be a fan of lines.
Okay.
It's really crowded. It's not that it's not well presented. It is. But I think if someone isn't interested in history or classical music, okay, it's just not terribly exciting.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I would say isn't probably worth it is the Stiftskeller St. Peter restaurant. It's been there since, I think, 800 AD or something like that.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's obviously got quite a reputation based on that, but the food really isn't that great. You could go elsewhere and get a better meal
serving
at a lower cost.
Traditional food, I assume.
Yeah, it's kind of a gussied up traditional food.
Okay. So if you wanted to skip there and go to someplace else lesser known, where would you send people?
I would send people to a restaurant called Bärenwirt, and it's just south of the old town. It dates from the 1600s, and it's a very...
So this one's new.
Yeah. It's the new kid on the block.
Up and coming. We'll have to see if it sticks around for a long time.
Yeah, it's a great, cozy, very Austrian-feeling dining room, and they do the classic dishes of the area supremely well.
And what are the classic dishes?
You've got your Wiener Schnitzel, which admittedly is from Vienna.
Which is a sausage.
Yes. And one of my favorites is the Knödel im Bärengroße, which means a bear-sized dumpling. And it's about the size of half of my head.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And it's served with a very paprika-rich goulash meat sauce. It's delicious.
Oh, interesting. So sort of hearkening back to the Austria-Hungarian connection.
Yes, definitely.
Hmm. And you mentioned that a very Austrian dining room.
Yes.
I can't picture what that would be.
Lots of woods, and it's a humble dining room. It's very cozy. There's a word called Gemütlichkeit.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which just implies a sense of coziness and warmth and belonging and just feeling very good about the whole experience. And that dining room embodies Gemütlichkeit.
Okay, excellent. Any recommendations on where to stay when you're in Salzburg?
I would recommend staying along Linzergasse, which is that pedestrian street that's on the opposite side of the river from Old Town. There are some great little hotels along there, and you're a little bit away from the hustle and bustle of the Old Town, but still you get the beautiful old architecture.
Okay. I've been briefly to Austria, have not been to any of the major cities, just been briefly through the Tyrol. What's going to surprise me about Salzburg?
It really does deliver on what it promises. It's a small town, and it's absolutely filled to the brim with beautiful Baroque architecture. Mm-hmm. You may feel surprised by how easy it is to get around and how accessible everything is. You don't need a car, you don't need a bike, you don't need public transportation. Everything is just walkable within between 5 to 20 minutes, basically, and you can enjoy it all.
Now, are there anything that you would recommend going to that's sort of beyond the Altstadt, beyond the Old Town?
My personal favorite cafe is beyond the Altstadt. It's called Café Fingerlos, and it's on Franz Josef Straße, again, across the river from the Altstadt, but not too far from Mirabel Gardens.
Okay.
And then also on that side of town, near the St. Andre Church, there's a Thursday farmer's market that's a lot of fun, and you really don't see any tourists over there.
Okay, excellent. You mentioned the Salzkammergut.
Yes.
Tell us more.
The Salzkammergut is a region that's famed for its mountain lakes and the little villages dotted in between. and it is absolutely breathtaking. It would be an area where I would recommend driving. If you can rent a car, it makes for a wonderful outing for either a day or a couple days. Just kind of choose a village that strikes your fancy and spend the night or just spend a few hours.
And do you have a village that strikes your fancy in the Salzkammergut?
Hallstatt is probably the most famous, and I would say that it's justifiably famous. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely stunning. There's a church that sits kind of out on a little peninsula, and the town kind of runs up the side of a hill, and it's just breathtaking. There are a couple other ones that I really like. There's one called Traunkirchen, which has a church. Yeah, again. Yep. There's a rocky promontory, and this gray church sits out on that, and the backdrop is this huge hulking mountain, and it's quite a picture. And then there's another one called Mondsee, or Moon Lake. It has a beautiful mountain setting, too. It's a much bigger lake, but it's another wonderful little town to spend some time.
Okay, excellent. And then you would also mention Berchtesgaden, which I think I just butchered, which is probably best known for one of its more infamous Austrian residents.
It is, yes. Yes, you can visit the Hitler's Adlerhof in the region, should you so choose. Or if you're a World War II buff, yes, that is there. And Berchtesgaden is notorious for that, but it's actually a pretty cute little Bavarian town as well. So follow your gut, whether you want to visit or not, but it's a cute little town.
Okay, and we're just over the border into Austria there.
Into Germany, yeah.
I'm into Germany, right, exactly.
Yeah. And close to there is Königssee, which is a gorgeous lake kind of surrounded on all sides by mountains, and it's been depicted in artwork through the centuries, and it's definitely worth going out and hiking or going on a little boat ride as well.
Excellent. With Salzburg, who is the most memorable local you met?
I met a man named Klaus Messerklinger. And he actually knew my cousin in a really random circumstance, but he's this very larger-than-life, convivial man who would just make you feel welcome in an instant and kind of seem like someone that you'd known your whole life. And I think Salzburg is very much that way. It's very welcoming and happy.
Gemütlichkeit, you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very gemütlich.
You're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Salzburg. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'm standing on the Kapuzinerberg.
Okay.
I've hiked up there from Linzergasse.
Were you singing as you hiked?
A singing Edelweiss all the way. Which, by the way, Austrians don't know that song. That's an American song.
Well, that's terribly disappointing.
It is a little bit, but that was literally my first day at school. That was one of the things they told us. But in any case, I'm standing on the Kapuzinerberg and I'm looking out across the river toward this perfect panorama of the old town with the Festung on top of it all. And then behind that is the Untersberg, the giant mountain that kind of looms over everything. But I have to be there on a perfect day because otherwise the Untersberg is hiding in a shroud of clouds.
Okay. And you mentioned a perfect day. Best time of the year to come?
I would say spring is the best time to come.
Okay.
A little bit lighter on the tourist crowds, and the gardens will be in bloom, and the weather is starting to get nicer.
Before I get to my last three questions, anything else we should know before we go to Salzburg?
It's a very easy place to get around, as I mentioned. You don't need a whole lot of German. Pretty much everyone speaks English. And we'll probably answer back in English if you speak German to them.
You're thinking they can tell from my German that I may not be a native speaker.
Potentially. I was mistaken for German when I was speaking German to the Austrians. So if you're not speaking Salzburg Austrian German, which is its own sort of rhythm and feel, they'll pick you out.
Okay. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Salzburg?
I think it has to be all of the senior citizens of Salzburg because they are absolutely turned out in perfect Austrian gear on almost a daily basis. We're talking the little felt hats with feathers in them or a little tuft of horsehair. And they're just dressed immaculately in these traditional clothes. Hmm. No, not usually like dirndls or lederhosen, but the kind of clothing of the region.
Interesting. And I'm going to throw in a bonus question. You were there as a student, so one money-saving tip we should know about Salzburg.
To save some money, you can definitely forego eating in restaurants at lunch and go to the Universitätsplatz market. Mm-hmm. There are lots of sausage vendors and pretzel vendors, and you can get a really delicious, cheap snack to get you through the day.
And the best sausage down there, are we talking like Weisswurst, or what is the...
You can get your Weisswurst down there, but my favorite is the Käsekreiner, which is...
cheese, okay.
Yeah, a cheese dog, basically. Not terribly nutritious, but terribly delicious.
Excellent. Last two questions. Finish the sentence. You really know you're in Salzburg when what?
I'd say you're really there when you feel like you've gotten lost in the streets of Old Town and you're completely happy about it.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Salzburg in just three words, which three words would you use?
Beautiful, because it's just unabashedly beautiful. It's kind of a cliche word, but it's so hard to see Salzburg and think of anything else. Mm-hmm. Genteel. It's a very civilized, elegant sort of place. Mm-hmm. And Gemütlichkeit.
Excellent.
That coziness and feeling of welcome.
I think German words may have to count as a word and a half, but our guest again has been Gina Chupka. Danke schön for coming to Amateur Traveler and telling us about Salzburg. Where can people read more about your travels?
They can read some more at thistimetomorrow.net.
Excellent. Gina, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I have one news story for you this week, and that is that the Union Street Guesthouse in Hudson, New York, has a new policy for any couples that are having their wedding there, and that is that if any member of your wedding party posts a negative online review, they will charge you an additional $500. I believe that some people don't like that policy, since the hotel has now received hundreds of new reviews, mostly one star. Check out a link to that story at amateurtraveler.com. As I mentioned last week, you can also find the link to that story in the show notes of this episode in the lyrics section. And as I mentioned, a transcript of this episode will go up in a couple weeks, and those transcripts are again being sponsored, as I mentioned last week, by J-Way Travel, who are specialists in Central and Eastern European custom tours. I'll put a link to them also in the show notes of this episode. In news of the community, I heard from both William Shackelford as well as Jim McDonough, who both wanted to point out that when I said during the Charleston episode that while you're there you should visit Fort McHenry, that might be a bit of a drive. Fort McHenry, as you probably already know, is in Baltimore Harbor, and the fort that I was trying to name where the Civil War started was Fort Sumter. I don't know if I get it wrong every time I said it. I haven't seen the transcript yet, but at least two people say that I did say that wrong, so I will have to take their word for it. The funny thing about that is both Jen and John were very nervous that they were going to get facts wrong during the show, and it was me who blew it. Thanks to both William and Jim for keeping me honest. I also heard from Jessica, who wrote and said, I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I'm from San Antonio, and I would love to update your listeners on our wonderful city. A lot has changed since your last episode in 2012. I wrote back to Jessica, we don't generally update episodes that quickly because there are so many places we have not yet covered. Although we have recently been doing more updates, for instance, the Paris episode was an update of one we did 8 years ago, and we've done updates on Las Vegas, which changes so dramatically in a short period of time that so someday I hope to get back again to San Antonio, but that may be when I'm personally in San Antonio, which is what I'm doing with some of those episodes. Speaking of episodes on American cities, I heard from David who said, I thought the recent program you did on Mobile, Alabama was a pleasant surprise. Not sure why, but I wouldn't have guessed Mobile would have had that much to offer. I guess you just don't hear about it very often. I wanted to ask if you plan on doing future programs on U.S. locations of Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Houston, or Austin. These don't appear to have been covered yet, and at least to me, seem like interesting destinations. And I agree. I believe, David, that all four of those are on my list. But mostly what I need are guests who can talk about them intelligently. If you happen to be one such person or know someone, let me know. host@amateurtraveler.com. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Again, we still have spots for the Amateur Traveler trip to Morocco. The 10-day trip starts at only $1,000, not counting airfare. But check out the links to both the 10 and the 15-day trip at the Book Travel tab at amateurtraveler.com. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.